Hello, Edgar.
Hello. Namaste to you, Sito.
Thank you to give me the chance to have an interview with you. Do you see yourself as a spiritual teacher?
Más o menos. Yes, in a way, I became something like that, or this form became something like that. The hard thing is to see myself as anything, as in any role, or how to define myself anyway. Yeah? But when we just take the human form like this, then yes, I would say I'm a spiritual teacher.
What is the quality that makes a spiritual teacher a spiritual teacher?
Mostly it happens by itself, by life itself, which makes you a spiritual teacher. It's not yourself, you say, oh, now I want to be a spiritual teacher or something. It can happen also in this way, and then it is only teaching like some priest or some knowing which is given. But a spiritual teacher in my sense is someone who had a profound spiritual experience, let's say of oneness or of nothingness or of God or of himself, who he really is. And out of that, it can happen that teaching happens. It doesn't happen with everyone. Many people have such an experience, like losing the ego or something like that. But they then just stay in a more or less normal life and just live it and just be it. They don't teach. In Buddhism, you have the difference between, in conceptual way, between Buddha and Bodhisattva. And Buddha would be someone who just finds his true nature and then lives it without making something out of it, just normal, simple. And Bodhisattva is someone who teaches, who helps others. And somehow the life makes it that people come and want teaching. Most of the time it happens like that. Someone asks. It happened also with me like this. Or a teacher you had before says you should teach. Also that happened with me. And for me it is important that the feeling, the inner feeling that teaching is fun. You know, that I'm happy when I teach, when I feel something like fun and joy, a joy to teach. When I have this enjoyment in myself, then something can come. And then the next step is, how is this taken? Are there some who listen, who feels good when they hear those words and something happens with them? Then this is the next step, which is also important, that one can say, I'm a spiritual teacher, because both, yeah, there's only one side, but both, from both perspectives, from their own, where the joy is the most important, and the other side, where the people think they really get something, when this is in harmony, yeah, this inner and out, then teaching happens.
You mentioned the word ego. Mm-hmm. What is ego?
Ego. Mostly it's a concept. When we just take the word, ego comes from Latin and means I. I. Just I. That's the I. And one could say the I is, in a way, the sense of the self. Like Seeing is a sense of light. Hearing is a sense for sounds. Touching is a sense for feeling this material world. And the eye is somehow like a sense for the self. It's like a small part of the self you feel through the eye. The eye is like a door to the self. So ego is, in its real sense, just like I, or amness, or I am, is nothing which must be condemned, which happens mostly in spiritual sin, that the people say, oh, ego. Mostly the people point to an ego, mostly not to their own ego, to the other ego, and say something is wrong, you are wrong. Oh, you have still an ego and these things. But in reality, these concepts are just concepts. This kind of ego doesn't really exist. It's a phenomenon that people experience and call it ego, like egoistic. When people are egoistic, this phenomenon exists, of course, but it has no substance. There is no real substance in it. And mostly when I would speak of ego, I would mean in a negative sense, I still do it, of course, too, to explain something, I would say that when people are identified with this I in a way that they believe there are many I's, that there is an I and a you, or that there are 10 I's or 7 milliard I's in the world, in people. This is identification with the personal I. And this personal lie is illusion.
And it has something to do with separation.
No? Absolutely.
I am here and you are there. How is it in your daily life? You feel now you are sitting there in front of the camera and me, I'm sitting back side of the camera. Yeah. You have the feeling?
Yeah, I can see if there is a body and there is a body. And of course I can identify with this body. There's nothing wrong with identification. But identification is something like clothes, which I can put on and off. This kind of identification which you choose just for the moment, which happens just for the moment, for this setting. But the reality is that they are just clothes, this kind. And I can stand up and it's gone. And in normal life, when people are total into this identification with the personality, it happens that they think this is not the clothes, it's the skin. And they cannot put it off because they think this I is like, it's me. But it's not me. I happens. I is a happening like feelings, like thoughts, which happen. This is just something you can observe. There's an eye, maybe. When you look at it, when you look at yourself, something arises out of this looking. When the self looks onto itself, an eye arises, a concept and a feeling of eye, when the self looks at the self. But that's just one of many possible ways to become aware of something. Then you become aware of an eye, but in the moment where you drop this idea, it's gone. So, in fact, I see no difference. For me, it is like that I can, for example, look from this space to this, and I can look into your eyes, but I don't believe that what you are feeling as I, or I am, is not different like my feeling of I am. It's the same I am. There are not two I ams, there are not two I's. It's the same. So when you are totally with yourself, totally inside, let's say, but it's not even inside, just with you as I am, without body, without thinking what you are, totally I am. It's the absolute same I am like me. It's the absolute space, same space, and it's the absolute same point of zero, like singularity. We go to the same singularity. We meet inside, let's say. We don't meet outside. We meet in the real meeting and melting is inside, because there we are one, total one, everybody.
Okay, it's the same, but can it be different experienced, like a different taste? Because, we are, the human bodies are different.
No, then it's the taste of the body. It's the taste of feeling, it's the taste of memories, it's the taste of senses. That's all that has to do with the body. That's already form. Of course, this I and God, for me it's the same, like it's God. There's only one I and it's the I of God. And this I can be expressed in different ways, it can be shown in different, it shows itself in different forms, like different flowers in the world, like an orchestra. So it's always the same eye which repeats itself, but in different, many different forms, which can be totally different and can be totally different experienced as well. But the innermost eye, this experience is always the same. When we go inside until there is no more feeling of body or something like that, and only the I am remains, it's the same.
How about the story? Usually people are identified with their story, which that's what they see in the past. How is it with you? You don't have any past?
Sure, I have. I this body has a past. This past I can record, and that's the past. So that's just some memories. All the memories for the past happen in the now. It's not something that someone goes, is not present or something like that. These are also concepts. There is only now. There is no past. There is an everlasting now. Even tomorrow it's the same now like now. Yesterday it was the same now like now. And all of this happens in one eternal moment. No different moments for me. And I can recall all that. Some part of me is still sitting 17 years ago when that happened. That spiritual experience. There's one part of me which has the feeling that nothing since happened and nothing since changed. It's the same. It's like diving into something which does not stop anymore or end anymore. Even you see it was there before also, but you really didn't know what it is, and it was more in the unconsciousness. But it is there always, this I amness. And this I amness is the same, this will never change. Even if the body grows old, or even if you change your personality in some ways, but this I amness is the same. And it doesn't change a single moment. And for this I amness, never nothing happens. It's just showing up a world, but nothing profound happens. It's always the same. And so there's no story. The story is just like a dream you experience.
So you give advice to the people not to identify with their stories, or it doesn't have any use to give this advice?
No, I don't see anything wrong in everything. There's nothing wrong for me. Nothing wrong with identification, nothing wrong with the search, nothing wrong with finding too, of course. Nothing wrong with strange ideas, nothing wrong with concepts people believe which are false, maybe. Because there is no truth, no absolute truth. There are many relative truths of the moment, of the now, and now this is true from one perspective. There are so many perspectives of onto this, onto that, onto the whole universe, onto this which appears. So this is always somehow just one possibility to look at it, but nothing of that is absolute. So, and I know that everything is fine anyway, whatever happens. So, no, I don't give that kind of advice.
So how is spiritual teaching is happening for you? For example, if somebody asks you a question, you have to think about it, or you have to go inside, or just spontaneously there comes the answer or no answer. How does it happen?
Yeah, mostly like that, spontaneously. And it is not like that I have the feeling I give the answer. Yeah? I am also, there's something inside of me which also hears the answer and watches the answer and watches this body answering, yeah. And sometimes I'm really excited what is told out of that, and it's also for me when there is something coming like a joke, yeah. It is like for me myself the same. I hear it the first time, and I can laugh to it or something, and 5 minutes later I forget what was the answer. So it is my coming through. Yeah, and mostly I have the feeling when some questions are asked, like the people bring their question, let's say in their field, yeah, and they just use this as bringing it to the outer voice, yeah, because they have it in the unconscious maybe, yeah, and I get it like that. There's always the question if I point to the last step or to the next step. Yeah? And also this I don't control. Sometimes I point to the last step and sometimes I point just to the next step for this one form before me, in front of me, which makes a question. Then this one form has a next step, whatever it is, yeah? In his way, in his search. Yeah?
And what is the last step?
The last step is a step which cannot be gone. The last step is to drop everything which one knows, every knowing, to go totally into the unknowing, stop believing any spiritual concepts, neither wrong nor right, yeah? Total letting go of ideas, and just resting, yeah? And waiting for the grace which can happen, maybe, when one drops the search and stops with everything, just coming totally into the moment, totally to the body as well, maybe being just in surrender to the body, what he needs, small things, eating, sleeping, washing, going, standing, easy things, and just then grace can happen. But it cannot be done, so this is no step.
Some people say light is just appearing, just what is in the moment appearing. There is no meaning in it, there is no use, no... could you say the same?
More or less, maybe almost the same. What I don't like in this expression is when it sounds like, oh, it's meaningless, we... Yeah? Like a little negative approach to that, but it's like it has no sense, but it has also not no sense. It's both together. It's like being and not being. Being not and not being is not a question to be or not to be. That's the wrong question. It's not. It's more like both as well, being and not being at the same time. That's the reality. And that's the real thing with Advaita, yeah? With non-duality. It's not this and not that. And it's both together. It's in a way something third, which cannot be grabbed with the human mind, which thinks in logical way, like in binary things, yes and no. And in reality, it's more like quantum physics, being both together. And the same is with sense. It has no sense and it has sense. But th- this sense is not important. The sense, the only sense that it exists is the existing itself. It's enough sense. It does not need more sense than just being. But that is a true sense, and a big sense. That's why it exists, because it can.
Usually people feel that it's helpful to go to a spiritual teacher like to you, and what is helping? What is doing the help? Is it the knowing, the answers, or is it your presence, or how is it working? This
in a mysterious way. It's all together. It's mostly it is based on these three classic things: Sat, Chit, Anand. Sat is truth. So this is hearing the truth. Hearing the truth, something makes in the consciousness, in the unconsciousness, in the mind. It happens for the mind, out of the mind is used. It's only the mind area. But still, it makes something in a psychological way. It's like the Holy Ghost in the Trinity of Christianity, the Sat, the truth. This is one thing. The other is the energetic thing, Anand, like one could say bliss or love or light or energy. This is Anand from Sat-Chit Anand. This happens too. This is out of control. It can be controlled, but when it's controlled, it's not so so innocent. Then it's made and it doesn't come really to the peak experience when it's made. The experience possible when one controls energy, but the real thing happens when you just let go and the energy happens. And this happens when someone comes into the field or presence of someone who rests in itself, for example. Then energy makes a resonance. It resonates. Because in you is the same energy. In you is the same life energy, or let's call it also again as you like, Kundalini or love or Shakti or something. This resonates. In you is not, I don't give energy. Sometimes I make it like a meditation. It can happen to just give a little love and a little energy or blessings. But mostly there's no control. It's just putting it out like that. But the real thing happens on its own. You don't have to do anything. Neither you nor me. It's just the resonation of the same energy in you and me. That's Anand. That happens in satsangs, for example. In stillness, as well as when things are told. So we could sit together and meditate and being still, in silence. Then you feel this energy. But also I can make blah blah, some sap, some telling truth, and also out of speaking energy is shared. And in this way I could also read a telephone book and tell it anything or tell jokes, because just energy is shared. And the third is chit, that's consciousness. And also that's the same with like energy. Energy is like Shakti, like the female part of the universe, the manifestation, this all is energy, it's female side of God. And consciousness is like more the male side of God. It's the same, they are not separated. It's Advaita, Shiva and Shakti are one in reality. But it appears like two. Then because that we don't say it's one, we say it's not two. Advaita, not duality. And because it appears as two, like yin and yang. And the Shiva part, the male part, is consciousness. It's just consciousness. It's that which is in everybody I am. This part. This is consciousness. And also we have the same, in you is the same Shakti, the same energy moving. And it's the same consciousness looking out of this body somehow. You have the feeling you look out of this body, here looks something, and we meet, Yeah? Look into our eyes and it's the same seeing the same, consciousness seeing itself. It's also something which resonates. So these are the three levels which happen in such a meeting. Yeah? Consciousness, energy and telling the truth, which is just for the mind, but still doing something psychological, and it's something like fishing. Because most people come because they like to hear the truth, or some come just for the good feeling, but it doesn't matter why they come, it's working. Something happens.
And it's happening anyhow, or must there be something like an opening, an open state or something with the people who are coming to you?
I would not say open, it's like that. It is opening. It is opening, and the more one is open, and open defines more or less two sides, or all three, yeah? Again, subject and open means in the sense how much the body opens up generally to its own energy. It's not opening up to some teacher, master or something. That's also sympathy, or you hear and someone says something and you say, yes, that's what I think too. Then you have some you feel not attached, not good. You feel
touched
by this teacher or something. But the real opening is: are you open to your own energy? And that is in the past mostly. Are there people who did already a spiritual way or therapies or something? That energy, the energy body, is more open, then something more can happen. So I see it mostly like that. It's like a ripe apple. Yeah? When an apple is ripe, then he just falls down and I don't have to do anything. Yeah? Then it just happens by coincidence. The last step is grace. Even the guru, master, teacher cannot do it for you or for everyone. Yeah? Only the self can do it. You can call it God, Goddess, the self. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It can only happen by grace, which happens. And when the apple is ripe, it happens. And it happens, and sometimes it happens in suffering, yeah, of course. Because maybe the last energy, the last wind, which was needed, that the apple falls out, yeah, happens in suffering.
But there's no guarantee for
that. No way.
How comes the phenomenon that some people are attracted to one teacher and one and the other to another teacher,
yeah,
or to no teacher, or sometimes to this teacher and sometimes to that teacher? How comes this?
Yeah, that's resonation. It resonates. Yeah, you, and that's good. There are so many people, so many different forms of people. Yeah? In fact, 7-8 million people in the world, and nobody is really the same like the other. Even inside they are the same, but the form is different. And this form also has resonation. And so it's good that there are many teachers which appears that we are in fact not many teachers. We are all the one and same teacher, the self, let's say. And it's like that all the teachers are like the many heads, thousands of heads of Krishna. Yeah, it would be one concept. Yeah, which fits very good, because it's like that. The real teaching is from the self, from the one self, or from the no self. It's the same for me. Yeah? And the teacher is just a form. It's just some possibility that some people say, okay, this teacher is like me, or I see something. Sometimes it's just projection. Yeah? But also projection is used. So that's why for me nothing is really negative. Also concepts are used, also ego is used, also projection is used by spirituality, by the whole. Yeah? It's used. Yeah? Even that is used. So people project something like a father or a mother or a grandfather or something or a lover on this teacher, and it's used. Yeah? Of course, this projection has to drop someday. Yeah? Maybe it drops just in a moment before enlightenment happens. Yeah? Mostly happens like that. Because when there's clinging, too much clinging to the teacher, you don't see the moon. You hypnotized with the finger who is pointing to the moon. that has to drop one day, but before it is just used.
You offer session, satsang session, or satsang,
yeah.
But also a session in tantric.
Yeah.
What is the difference? There are two roots of you, different roots?
Not so much. There are not sessions, it's more seminars and retreats. No? Sessions I offer only satsang with coachings like in Skype or in real life. They are mostly satsang, just being in silence together or looking onto some daily problems or spiritual problems. Yeah? In retreats, I offer tantra retreats because that's this part of me which came from the outside that people asked me to, because my way was the tantric way. I was in India as well many years and was initiated as an art yogi in Varanasi and in Kundalini Tantra. It's a more tantric way which works with inner energy, with Kundalini, and which has more or less as goal not sexual therapy or something. I don't work with this, and also not with Neo Tantra and these things, with sexual joy. That's not my part. It's more using this energy just to become one with consciousness. This goal of real tantra, let's say, or this kind of tantra is a very spiritual tantra, where the goal is to bring energy, the body, Shakti, one with Shiva consciousness. Real non-duality. You know, the goal of this kind of tantra is non-duality. When then it happens, you realize that it was this goal was illusion as well, because you realize it was always one. Yeah, there was never two. But until then, from the individual's subjective viewpoint, it looks like two. Yeah? Me and my body, and like this. I am not my body. But in reality, it's all one. And tantra is a way to experience this. And it does not cut off the body. It does not cut off the universe. All this. Yeah, it calls it Maya and it's illusion. For me, that would be a kind of non-duality where people just close one eye, yeah, and then they see one. Yeah? But for me, tantra made from myself the experience to become one with the whole universe and to experience the whole universe like a living, conscious being, intelligent, hyper-intelligent being. This being in the past, when someone experienced that, they called it God. God. Yeah, because they just wanted to express that's not only a cold universe, that's living, that's a living being. Yeah. That is possible to experience this, when energy and consciousness become one. And then non-duality starts, then Advaita starts, like that. And so for me, this part of the teaching is still important, and people realize that I did this way, and therefore they asked me for teachings, of the techniques as well, which I learned. They wanted to learn because they thought, it worked with you. So maybe it works with us. And I didn't believe that, but okay, I started this now 10 years ago to give also tantra retreats, and it was a surprise for me as well that it worked, that people experience faith themselves. They have really not only just some Kundalini experiences, but really experiences of themselves, where all this, after that, the tantric path disappears. Yeah? One becomes one with himself, and that's it. It's the union of Shakti and Shiva inside, not in the outside. So much, but with everything.
You have been with Osho in your past. He's still a master for you?
Absolutely, yeah. It's long, long time ago, of course, and he's not a master in the sense that I teach was what he told, or his tradition or something. He did his thing, and there are also many things which were not so good, or his so-called personal stuff or process, which also happens after enlightenment, some personal stuff and processing. And there was also the time where I totally had to put him down from the podest, yeah, and see also the human part of him and the mistakes which everybody makes, yeah. So-called mistakes, because in fact there are no mistakes. But what this part like master is the love, yeah? The love which I feel for this appearance of existence. Osho was just an experience of existence, let's say. And this special appearance, this body Osho, which was one with existence, and which was existence expressing itself as Osho, as form Osho, this was very, very special for me, because he was so profound. He did speak about everything. Yeah? In the beginning, 15 years ago, I had the feeling I don't have to be teacher, because everything was said. Everything already was said by Osho. There is no need for any other teacher for the next 1,000 or 2,000 years. It felt really like that. And I thought, what should I write? Now I wrote already more than 7 books, but the first time I thought, there's nothing to write. It's all in Osho books. Yeah? It was, of course, I was fresh, still fresh as in... also still in a kind of disciplehood, yeah? But it was so big what he did, and it was so huge, and I still feel personally that he was so important for me, yeah? Because many, many things which happened to me, and also the last happening, happened because what he did, what he brought into the world. I cannot imagine, of course it would have happened in a different way maybe too, but for me it could not have happened without him, for me, this experience.
You also feel resonance to Ramana Maharshi?
Also, of course, after that, Osho was my last master, let's say, or the second last master. When it happened, also an outside master appeared, which I did not know before. He was just sitting with me, but just some minutes before. But in this time, I was Osho Sannyasi, and in Pune happened, and I did not know anything about all this satsang thing. So the first months after, it's now 17 years ago, end of the 90s, in India, and the first month after, slowly there came some people my way. I did not see them, which gave satsang and things like that. And I became even friends with many of them. And they helped a lot to integrate also the experience. And it opened up this Advaita stuff. I did not hear anything about Advaita before. But it was the explanation. For me to come in contact with Advaita was like Osho brought me to this experience. Yeah, he was a tantric guru. Yeah? He was perfect in this, somehow. Yeah? To come really to this point of union, yeah? Of Shiva and Shakti, of consciousness and energy. But when these unions, you see, it was unit to you all the time, eternal, yeah? Since the beginning, Shiva and Shakti were. And also Tantra, all this way and all this concept flow away. They were not important anymore for me, because now oneness was what I am. Yeah? And in that, let's say, Osho had some answers for me, of course, also after, because he described a lot about his own state. But he did not describe really much about beyond enlightenment. What happens after the integration, all these problems or not problems, all this which happens on its own. You don't work anymore on yourself or something, but really many things are also changing in this, in the body, in everything. And there Advaita was for me like when I first heard a about the Dvaita, it was like, oh, it's exactly describing what I experienced. There I found myself in the description, not as a path, not as a way. The path was tantric, was Vipassana. But then as explanation, as it's for me just a description of truth. It's not the way to truth. It's just a description. And this was perfect. I did all the reads after. I did look in every tradition, in Christianity, in Buddhism, in Taoism, in Sufis. I found it everywhere. I found the same experience in every religion, in every tradition, but I did not find it as clear as in Advaita. In Advaita, it was really on the point. In the Upanishads, and later in Shankara, and later in Ramana Maharshi, in Nisargadatta as well. Yeah. And all this tradition, like Ramesh Palsika, and many Indians, even Indians which are not so much known. And it's always the same. So I also got into contact with this tradition, and it also helped me to integrate.
You spent a lot of time of your life in India, and you felt at home there, yes?
Yeah. I was altogether 2-3 years, almost one. So, and since then, just visiting sometimes. Maybe next year I plan in winter time, maybe again 6 months in India, we'll see. But normally also this was finished somehow, so the love to India is still there. But my home is somehow everywhere, and now it is Kumya. But I feel really in India that this kind of spirituality is very alive.
How do you see the human beings, the society, the whole world? You see the in what kind of state or point are we? Is there a danger of a next big war, even in Europe, or has it any effect on you, the outside situation?
I would not say really effect, but I'm interested in it, and I watch that, and what happens. It came back to be totally interested into the world, and into politics, and people experience what the world, it's just like watching a movie in 3D, and it does not have an effect, but of course I see that in a way it's a great time, because many things are changing, and one cannot say in which direction it will go. Now it is on a point where it can go into this or that, which are very different with what happened the last 30 years, after the war, the last 60, 70 years. I think the system will change, but I cannot say in which direction. It is like the climate, it will also change, and people say it will warm, but others feel like it's so it becomes more extreme. It's like how to say in English, Kreisel, so where you wait, it is something for childs, spinning,
yes.
And then you look on which direction it falls, and it's now like that. It can be that freedom for many people is more waiting, and it can also be, and the system, the old system goes, or it can be that the old system turns into an ice block, and we have some kind of dictatorial politics for the next 50 years. Who knows? And the next generations have to set them free in some future. We will see. It will become really tough, I think. But that's also a wake-up call for people. to look what onto themselves. And I also see that this is God. Even if wars are happening.
Everything has to be exactly the way that it's how it's happening?
It cannot be different. That's our nature and all of this. In fact, it's energy. And it's like a movie. It's like a movie, a drama. Sometimes it's a harmonic movie, and sometimes it's a love story, and sometimes it's a crime, and sometimes it's a war, and sometimes it's tragedy. And it's like a movie you watch, and that is not different. And the real thing in the end, the message which can bring peace to people is that nothing happens on the end. There's only God, and everybody is God, even everyone who dies. It's only God again and again and again and again, and every people have to die. That's true, and I really love to be alive in a body, of course, but I also see that it's just some movie, some illusion, some dream. And what happens in the dream, it's like when you dream in the night, you can have a love story in the night, or you have some nightmares. But when you awake, it's just a dream. It does not matter what happened before or in the dream.
So, our language, our mother language is not English. We're doing this interview in English. That means you are ready to give your teachings, to play your role as a spiritual teacher also for English-speaking persons. Yes.
I did, when it happened to me in India, I was much into English language. In fact, I did think in English and dream in English. Now that's a long time ago, because I came back to Germany, Austria, and now Spain, and so. So I became a little bit distanced to this, to English. But now again, it is happening, and I will offer also things in Skype in English language and online satsang in English. I will try, just looking what happens, playing.
Another issue, what is your advice to have a happy relationship between men and women?
Happy. It has to be happy. In reality, the hope to have a happy relationship is one step to not make it work, because there's hope, there's projection, there's some wanting, like it has to be. In the moment where I have an idea how it has to be, it's in the way, and it is between what is. Somehow it is. And for some people, in life is needed that they have that kind of relationship, which is maybe fighting even, or some projection, or I like to say a working relationship. A working relationship is something where people spiritual grow, but of course it's not easy. Happy is okay, tra-la-la, but nothing much happens. So there are so many different stages for people in the experience of being a human being and becoming more and more oneself, and for all the stages different kind of relationships are needed and comes in the way. Even then there are stages where it's needed to not have any relationship at all and going totally back to oneself, being alone in the sense of all one, alone or one, and stay there and don't needing anything, don't need anybody. To give me love or something. And for me it is like, but then I only speak of me personally, but this cannot be put on others. It's just when you go through this being all one and alone, and become independent of being in relationships, then, after that, it can happen. And in a way that you don't need it. When you don't need it, you're really ripe for it. Let's say happy or harmonic, or does not even has to be that for a relationship which works and where you can relax. Yeah. For me, the most thing in a relationship is before I had other priorities, of course, maybe sex mostly or same interests or something like that, whatever. Yeah. But now, for me, the most important thing in a relationship is, can I be alone and all one together? Have I changed in any way when I am being with someone, or can I relax like I am alone? Because my real home is one, is alone, is all one. And when it's possible with another to be oneself like you are without any mask or any change or any projection or anything, you feel when one is projecting, you again, you already come into some role. Yeah, you can play those roles for 2 hours, for 4 hours, but 24 hours a day or all the year long. Yeah, when you are not living together, it's easy. Yeah, you meet separate, That is working with every relation. But when you live together, yeah, for me it works only, and it works. I found that. When it happens that you can be like you are alone, totally relaxed, that nothing changes, then it's easy. Then it works. Everything else is some kind of, then it is a work, then it has a sense, it's also good, but you cannot relax like you are alone. And then that will come the time where the whole body and system Christ, I have to go out of that, maybe conscious or unconscious. And that happens with many relationships. They come to this point because they are not enough alone. So for me the most important is to be oneself, to be that the partner has no problem with how you are, how this expresses, all the even if it's ego or mind or conditioning or programs, when the partner has no problem with the personality. It's easy to be one with transpersonality and say, we are one, we are God. But that's not what is life. In a relationship, you have a relationship with a personal form, as personal form. And they have to have a yes for this personal form in every way. Or at least letting it like it is, not wanting to change the other. That's the most important thing.
Even if I have the feeling I'm totally in tune with the other person and we match together and I can be myself, but still there are coming up situations when I have to make compromise. Because just life is like this. Is this the same experience for you?
I'm much less, for me it's like I'm much less compromising myself. This form, like not before. It's like when it happens that one is able to be alone, and to be totally happy alone, and not needing the other to make me happy. That's the point. However, it happens, doesn't happen, it's not needed that it happens enlightenment for that, but it's near that. Yeah? And when one is happy with his alone, then why should he go into any compromise? Why should he compromise this happiness which is there? And about that I speak. It does not have to be in harmony all the time, yeah? But it's this happiness which is there on its own, yeah? That which is enough and which no partner can give. It can only come from inside. And it's already there with everybody. One only has to find it or realize that it's there. Then there is no need for compromise. That's why I say it's really important, this aloneness. But on the other side, of course, when it feels good, and when it feels good most of the time, it depends what you really understand with compromise. I would not compromise myself, or I would not compromise the happiness which is in me. I would not compromise my truth, my most innermost truth. Yeah? This is one side of the coin. The other side is, of course, compromise of life, yeah? Are no problems, because it, so in this way it even becomes more easy, because I don't need so much from life, I don't have so much goals in life which is important, that this is that and that is, yeah, so many things fall away and you just live a easy, simple life. So many things become much more simple. So maybe many things which look like compromise are just not important. When it is not really important, when it doesn't hurt, let's say, and it's okay. Yeah?
Both we like to eat together, but yeah. One person maybe like to eat the big meal at the day at 1 o'clock, and the other would prefer at 3 o'clock or okay. 4 o'clock. Ah, so okay. That
for me it was difficult. No, I'm really so blessed that I'm in a relationship where we are so in these small things so same. Yeah. In the moment it's like even like that our bodies 4 days a week we have on the gram, or not on the pound, on the point, 0 point, the same weight. Yeah, since many weeks. This is strange. And we many times experience the same thoughts in the same time and things like that. So that's also part that we have the same. For me, it's really good that we eat the same things and most of the same time. But it's just happening, yeah. But it would not be. I also was in relationships where it was the other way around, like you say. That are not really so much important things, because everybody should eat what he likes and when he likes, and that's not really needed. When there is the thing is, when there is no problem. That the partner has a problem that you don't eat when she eats, or you have a problem when she doesn't. When this problem is not there, then it's easy. When everybody can be himself like he is, yeah, whatever how it expresses, and nobody has to compromise, that's the point. Yeah? In fact, you didn't tell a compromise. Yeah? You just told that there's difference. The compromise would be that you eat at 3 o'clock, or your partner eats at 1 o'clock. Then a compromise starts. And I think when this starts to hurt, well, for a long time, then it can be difficult. But sometimes it's just a habit. When it's a habit, it can be changed, no problem. Sometimes it's natural for that body to eat at 3 o'clock. And when he then starts to eat at 1 o'clock, because of you, for example, it becomes unhealthy in a way, yeah? Because you don't follow the nature of the body like he wants. But as I said, it's difficult to make a difference between is it nature or is it just a habit. Yeah? Some habits like this can be changed, and it's just a program, just a habit. But you have to try. When you change it, and after a month it feels good to eat at 1 o'clock, for example, it's okay. If it still does not feel, then you go into a compromise where you go against your nature and truth. And then I would not do it. Then it's a problem. Or what's even also wrong, one wants to eat at 1, 1 at 3, and we eat at 2. Yeah, between. You can do it one time, two, three times, for example. But not every day. Because then every day, both of you lose your center and go out into something which you are not. Which does not feel natural. Yeah, and that's even worse than when even one does it. Then even one can stay in center. Yeah? So when it's all the time, yeah, I'm not sure if that's so good. But I speak of out of this viewpoint where I see this all oneness as the highest truth and the most important. Yeah.
But the funny thing in my case is, or in our case, is that we also feel like being hurt not to eat together.
It's like making some priority, yeah, between the feeling of the body and the psychological, the feeling of the love, which is third, yeah, and look, which is third more, so is it long time to it? Do you do this?
It's not such a big problem.
Okay.
It's just sometimes I feel it.
Okay. That's normal. There can be differences, and there even can be fight, but there even can be. Then it doesn't have to be harmonic on the way or something. Then it works out. And if the energy is expressed somehow and not suppressed down, when you feel, I don't want. And when one lets it happen against his own nature all the time and does not respect this feeling which goes against and doesn't express it, then I would just say it would not be healthy. Yeah? But it's not really a problem when so works well with the emotion, just feeling it.
Okay, let's have another issue. Yes, I have tea.
Yeah.
It's a dance. Of the body, the end of everything?
It's not even the end of the body. Yeah, because, the body is then dead in a different biological state and will fall back into where he already came from, to Earth, yeah, Earth to Earth, like that. And the energy is not lost, the atoms of the body are not lost, the molecules are not lost, nothing is lost in a way. Consciousness, because I am you, yeah? If one of us dies before the other, for example, the other will remain, at least some months or years or something, yeah? And because I am you, who dies?
And is the death of the body in any case the end of the feeling of being a separate person?
For the body, sure. For the body, sure. Yeah. But in a way, yes, of course, yeah, the different person. In fact, the I, yeah, which has the fear of dying, the one is the I, the personal I, which has this fear. He can die even living in the body. The personal I can die while the body stays alive. That happens here, that happens all the time. Someone awakes, because one awakes to consciousness itself, to the self itself, and realizes that the personal lie was some sort of illusion or misbelief that I am that personal lie. So this personal lie, but this personal lie is the same one who has the fear of dying. But what really happens when the body dies in a conscious way, there are so many different possibilities like truths in the world, like it's a relative truth what you experience directly after. So the dream continues in some way. Anyway, it's one dream which is interconnected millions of times. It's one dream from many different perspectives. You were Buddha, you were Jesus, you were Napoleon, everybody of that. There was only this one eye all the time, and it experiences itself again and again and again and again. There is no time in it that you can say there's an after. And this. So we experience many lives altogether, and somehow we think it's chronological, but in the moment where death happens, this time ends and chronological things end, and you are there where you were before you were born. Whatever it is, you can call it nothing, you can call it everything. You can call it Nirvana or the universe. And somehow there will be an experience of maybe total bliss, or there will be not being any experience at all, and total nothingness. It's the same in some way. There is a chronological thing. Maybe you experience your next life, one could say, but that's already part of the dream. Yeah, that the dream continues, and maybe in next life you are Caesar 2,000 years ago. Yeah? This is all happening not in a chronological way, but from the point of consciousness. Time is illusion. So, and the whole universe is illusion. And you go back to that, maybe. Or you don't go back to that, and you dream another dream, maybe in some other planet, whatever. All can happen. There is no truth into it that this is the right way and this is what happen. Maybe someone will dream in his religious conditioning, and Jesus will come, or Muhammad will come, or Lao Tzu will come, or Buddha will come and take you, or something like that. But that's also just some part of the dream. That's not real. Nothing of that is real.
So the totality of the dream is endless.
Endless, absolutely. Total. In a way, it does not even exist. The dream is only from one side of the coin. It appears to be real and to be there and to exist, and from the other side of the coin it does not even exist. It's the nothingness itself which is dreaming about being. How it is if I would be. It's the nothingness which just has the dream to be a universe, which started with the Big Bang. That's a dream. That's the dream of the nothingness. And time came into being. No? Without time, not even being.
This imagination you now described, it gives me a feeling of then nothing really matters.
Yeah, sure. In the most perfect sense of the word, you just said, nothing really matters. Nothing is what matters, which played mattering, which became matter. Only nothing matters. Yeah. There's nothing else like nothingness which matters. But in the normal sense of, yes. Of course, También.
And still every impulse can happen to change something, to do something.
Absolutely.
Also fine.
Yes, both on the same side. There's one side of the coin, the last truth. Everything can happen.
I know for you it happens that the healthiness of the body is important.
Yeah.
You like movement, you like to use your body, maybe you like to speak about it.
Yeah, the first years I was very much into many things, kind of different sports before it happened 17 years ago. And then this slowly came to an end. Around 15 years ago, so 2 years more, and then slowly I was not doing anymore, because not because nothing makes sense, but because everything is fair, and there was bliss, or I don't want to say bliss, it looks so high, bliss is just a state which comes and goes, but there was just freedom and peace, nothing to do. And that's why I did not move anymore, and so slowly the body became more, but it felt okay, because my new hobby was cooking. I found much joy to cooking and things like that, but I did not move so much anymore. And then last year I got sick, the body got sick, so I had to change, and again I changed. It was like a moment, like, okay, I could also lay down and wait that the body disappears, of course, but I really like also to be with the body, and so I changed the way of living again and went again much more into sports again, and changed also my food to low carb. I became, the diagnosis was diabetic. Last year, my father already was diabetic. My brother was diabetic, so his body was bound somehow to react like that. And it's this like a kind of diabetic too, which people became when they don't move much and don't eat too much and became more fat, which happens there. So it was bound to happen. It was natural. Even spiritual people are not free from them. Osho also was diabetic, and Papaji also was diabetic. So, but I did not want to take medicaments and these things. I don't like that. If I would have, of course, if it wouldn't have worked to heal myself, then I would have taken medicaments maybe. But I tried to change everything again. And I did see, yeah, it really feels good for the body to move. So I, in 1 month, I could change the blood, the sugar in blood. I did every day measure, and after month, it was normal again, really from very high to normal. And last year I lost 25 kilo or 50 pounds, so. And I feel healthy and fit like 10 years ago or 15 years ago, and it is just fun and good. It's nothing spiritual, you know, it's just the body, and to be with the body in a healthy way. And for me it was important, it was a kick in the ass to move again. Because that's a little bit a problem when that happens, that you are just satisfied, deeply satisfied, you don't have to do anything. And so I became lazy. Very lazy. It was good, it was okay until this moment, and then I changed. It was not really something really doing, it just happened, and it was so much fun with that. It was so much. Yeah.
You didn't have to force yourself to do anything. No, it was just a happening then.
It was the fun was the joy which happened also with that was the gift also. So I saw, when I look now into the past, I see it like also a gift to me, a present, this diagnosis. Or for me it was the best, or for this body, it was the best which could happen. So I changed my lifestyle again.
Okay, is there another issue or something you would like to talk about? About your sessions, we mentioned already.
Yeah.
You're offering Skype sessions. Mm-hmm. People can ask you questions. They can see you in the Skype session.
Yes, yes, yes.
But you don't need to see them, or no?
Mostly it happens. So I also have some who we do only audio or with telephone or Skype, or it works with so many ways. It's also possible. For me, it does not matter. But when they're seeing, I like that both are seeing, because then there is some connection. Yeah? This connection goes with light, let's say, with light. Yeah? And when there's no seeing on both sides, it's also good. And I also go inside and I only go with the sound. Yeah? And then it's okay, but I don't like when it's not the same. So when one, it can be like this or that.
And the people can ask you any questions?
Any question.
And yes.
It can be spiritual, it can be normal lifestyle, it can be even the job, it can be the relationship, it can be whatever it wants. There's no limit. It can be philosophical, it can be senseless, it can be just joking. whatever wants to happen. That's the truth of satsang, also means what is there is there.
Okay, and you would be also free to go to different places when people invite you to give a satsang.
Yeah.
Yes.
This summer already, I originally wanted to stay in Lachenmehrle, but this summer I have events in Vienna, Berlin and Hamburg, in July in Germany, in June in Austria, but I would come everywhere. When people pay me the traveling and they're coming, there's no problem at all.
But you don't have anything like a message? Or
message? You are that. Whoever now listens, you are that. What is? There's nothing else than you. The only message. And after that, you experience that you are not, but that's a different kind of story. No, I don't really have a message. I have so many messages, I could not put it into even one life. On one side, yeah, and on the other side, there is no message.
Okay, so thank you very much.
Welcome. Thank you for this interview. Yeah. Okay.